690.
Welcome back. It is hour number four on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 at 7 o'clock. Sideline to sideline, Kai Haber of the Alouettes with Joey Alfieri. And then at 8 o'clock, we have the Yankees in Cleveland. CC Sabathia, Corey Kluber right now. Where are they? It's John Lester has come out of the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs, trailing 1-0 in the middle innings at Wrigley Field. Last night at the Bell Center.
Ryan Hartman tried to chip it up for Kansas. Two scores! Thomas Pacanis kicks it off, and Montreal scores a minute and 15 seconds in.
And now Sharp brings it in. Sharp plays it across. DeBrincat scores! Alex DeBrincat, his first National Hockey League goal, and the game is tied. Draft pick Chicago used to get him. Now busting in his panic with a chip, sends it back in front. Taze saw it, scores! And just like that, Chicago has grabbed the lead.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Poker Palace, just 15 minutes from downtown Montreal, poker-palace.ca.
Working for NBC Sports with Brian Boucher. How you doing, Gord?
I'm doing very well, Mitch, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. It was good to see you briefly last night, and as Gord...
Hi, my daughter says hi. Really?
What, are you dropping her off at ballet?
I am.
Oh, okay. How old is she now?
She's 12.
Oh, man. Remember when she
made her debut
on this show?
Her radio debut on this very program, yep.
Yeah.
And I said a bad word.
You did?
I said hate. And that's why Blair piped
up. That's a bad word.
That's what she said.
Yeah, out of the mouths of babes, although at 12, not quite.
At 12.
So I ran into Gord again very briefly because we were both working, and as he said goodnight, leaving, I said, okay, I'm looking forward to talking tomorrow after 6 for some level-headedness in a city that's already full of panic.
Right.
What did you learn, if anything, like working the game last night?
Well, I think that, you know, the encouraging sign would be that Montreal's had lots of chances the last few games. I mean, lots of scoring chances, lots of shots last night. That, you know, so they're not going to shoot 3% for the rest of the year, you would think. So that will likely even itself out at some point. What's discouraging is the lack of finish. And Alex Galchenyuk has 2 goals his last 28 games, regular season and playoffs together. Pacioretty's got 3 in his last 22. Galchenyuk is concerning, for sure. I don't know what the answer is. He had a couple of chances last night, but he's not generating much. He's invisible for long stretches, and that would be deeply concerning to me.
And so I take it you're not surprised that he he practiced today with the line he finished on last night with Torrey Mitchell line, in the middle.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. You can be unhappy with the way he's been treated, and maybe he has been, and maybe he doesn't like playing on the fourth line. Too bad. This is the National Hockey League. There's no HR department to say, I'm sorry you don't feel like you're being treated well in the workplace, and I'm sorry you don't feel like the coach is being fair to you. That's life. And you play where you're told to play. You play when you're told to play, and you do your best. And, you know, Ryan Hartman had the giveaway last night on the first goal by Thomas Pacanic. And Joel Quenneville walked over to him on the bench and just gave it to him.
Yeah, he played less than 9 minutes.
And then benched him for much of the game. That's life. That's the National Hockey League. That's you know, their job is not to coddle you and make you feel good about yourself. Their job is to win games. And if you can't help them win games, then you're not going to play.
All right,
now, simple as that.
Gallo, you're there. You're in the room. And I'm not at practice or anything. Alex Galchenyuk, as far as I know, now maybe privately he is. He's probably, I would guess and I would hope, more pissed at himself than the situation. Right?
Right. I really don't know, Mitch. It's been one home game, and Galchenyuk was not available for comment after the game last night. So to give a sense of where he's at,
you know, Max Pacioretty, the captain, was asked about Galchenyuk's state of being, is not being happy or not looking at it. Let's listen.
Alex looks very unhappy right now. To what
too?
Alex Galchenyuk.
Oh, he's happy.
To what level can you help him?
I don't agree. I can't answer that because I don't agree. I think he's happy, and I talk to him all the time. Okay. That's going to be our team this year. Is things aren't going well, we stick together. There's so much more in this room than people realize, and to say a player looks unhappy is unfair.
All right, you want to pick up on that?
I agree. I don't think it's fair to ask. First of all, ask another player about a player's state of mind. That's not fair. And how can you know how someone, unless he comes out and says it, how can you know what someone thinks? To me, it's irrelevant what he thinks. It really is. Whether he's happy, unhappy, feels treated well or mistreated, doesn't matter. Your job is to go out and produce. It really is irrelevant how you feel about it.
So, and I think Gord, Gord, for those of you just joining us, worked the game last night. He was in the Bell Center last night. If I'm Alex Galchenyuk, or if I'm the Canadians, and you don't worry about his feelings, but you say, look at this kid, Charles Hudon, who made it clear he was going to step on the ice like every shift was his last. He didn't want to see the American Hockey League ever again.
Right.
And right now, like last night, he's their best forward. He is their best left winger as we speak, and that includes Galchenyuk and Pacioretty. But you see what he's doing. He's hungry for the puck. Right?
And he's a dynamic player who you can tell is motivated to make a difference every shift. And, I'm not questioning Galchenyuk's effort. I'm questioning the results. And ultimately, it's a results business. You are, as a team, you are ultimately what the standings say you are. And ultimately, as an individual, you are what the results say you are. And, Jonathan Toews does a lot of good things for the Chicago Blackhawks that you don't notice. A lot of great things. But he knows last year that 21 goals wasn't enough. And he went out this year and changed his training regimen and changed his approach to try to be better offensively again. And, small sample, but so far it's paying off.
Now, Galchenyuk was available after practice today.
Like I said, I don't want to get in too much in all that stuff. I'm here. My job is to go out there and make myself better and try to help the team win. So that's what I'm focused on. Not in school, not here to give myself grades or anything like that. Just like I said, I got to keep coming in here and working on my game.
All right. So I don't know if you caught that last part, but he was asked to give himself a grade, and he said, "I'm not doing
that."
So if the Canadians. And we were here with you and Ray in the spring, right? Remember Galchenyuk on the fourth line in the playoffs? Where do you think does this move? I mean, clearly he's not a fourth line player. So
he's playing on the fourth line.
Would you anticipate him responding on Saturday night against Toronto? He's got he's got 3 days to think about this.
Hope so. You'd hope that he'd take this as a challenge and.
There's long stretches where you don't notice him at all. And that's discouraging. He's on the power play. You just don't notice him. And I think as a team, it'll come around. Like I think for him in a sense, it'll come around, but they need him now. Yeah, I was, me, Mitch, I'm not one to ring the panic button. I'm not one to press the panic button. And I think that, you got to take a long view. But this is 28 games with two goals.
Except you threw in another stat that, you're ahead of me on that one. Is Max Pacioretty 3 goals in 22 games?
Yeah. Now, I guess Pacioretty is a guy, he's got 4 35-plus goal or 30-plus goal seasons. So, you cut him some slack because it does come and go for goal scorers. But, this business about Galchenyuk should be playing in the middle and this, that. He scored 30 goals as a winger 2 years ago.
Well, actually, they put him in the middle, and that's when he took off, when Desharnais was hurt.
But he was still, he played the bulk of his games that year on the wing.
Well, except he did the bulk of his goal scoring as a center. I don't want to revisit this. man, I don't want to revisit this Galchenyuk as a center, as a winger, as a right winger, that he got, what, one shift as a right winger? Go ahead, Rod. Rod's been itching to go in.
I don't want to get into that either. But how about this, Gord? Alex Galchenyuk, as a member of the Montreal Canadiens, like, if the management group here, if the coaching staff here, regardless of whether he's on the fourth line now, if they've made up their mind that he's really not going to be part of the solution, then why not just move him? Get what you can and move on.
Right. So that's the next question. I mean, you know, there was a time when it was thought that Galchenyuk would be the centerpiece of a trade for Matt Duchene, and Montreal wasn't willing to do it. Now the question you have to ask is, would Colorado want him as the centerpiece in a trade for Duchene? Now, Duchene's stock isn't exactly at an all-time high either, but I'm not, like, I don't mean to beat up on Alex Galchenyuk because I like him as a person, and I think he's a really good player. But unfortunately, you have to take that out of the equation, and you really have to be results-based. You really have to, at a certain point, say, you know, hard work and effort aren't enough, and, you know, getting chances isn't enough. I'm hearing the same thing from Claude Julien this regular season that we heard last year in the playoffs. We're getting lots of chances, we're just not scoring. Well, scoring is a skill. Scoring is a talent. And maybe they don't have enough. I don't know. What I saw last night was a team that, you know, had lots of chances and just, for whatever reason, couldn't bury them. And Corey Crawford was really good, as he always is at Montreal. But at the same time, they just, it's too much, it's too long now of not scoring to say it's a blip.
Gorda, just to further what Rod was saying about, if you've identified the player as not fitting on your team, is it time to move on? Isn't there just too many cautionary tales of teams moving on from players prematurely and then getting fleeced because of it?
So Tyler Seguin?
Well, that's one. I mean, the Bruins made two of those type of deals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when, you know, the guy gets traded, that's the wake-up call that kind of spurs him on. So would Seguin ever have turned it around in Boston after all that had gone on there? Maybe not. I don't know. I think the Bruins players have to take some of the blame for what happened with Seguin. I mean, he was an 18-year-old kid living by himself in downtown Boston. I mean, were guys having him over for dinner? Were they taking him under their wing? Were they looking out for him? I don't know that. But you know, Carey Price has got an 8-year contract extension kicking in next year. And I don't think that, you know, he's here to go through a rebuild. But, I mean, you know, people are all excited about the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? I mean, they all, the Leafs score, they got all this dynamic scoring. Okay, they've got a first overall pick, a fourth overall pick, a fifth overall pick, a seventh, and an eighth. Do you know how bad you have to be and for how long to get that many high picks?
Yeah, the Sabres weren't far behind, and they've already been through one management team that tanked on purpose.
And they're not looking like world beaters yet. Mm. And Edmonton went through 10 years of it. There's no guarantee it'll work.
Well, there's also the Panthers and the Islanders, and there's numerous examples
Edmonton,
of teams.
Yeah. Columbus.
Yes, Columbus. Because you tank, and you might not end up with the first pick. And you waste a whole year, and the player doesn't turn out. It's a whole year wasted for nothing.
Right. So, you know, Buffalo could have had Aaron Ekblad and Connor McDavid, but they lose two lotteries. The funny thing is, you know, you're worried about the Canadiens' puck moving on defense? It looks fine. The Canadiens are moving the puck fine from defense. They're getting lots of chances. If they were getting, you know, 18 or 20 scoring chances, you'd say, ooh, this is a team that's not generating anything. They're just not finishing.
Well, the perfect example is the back-to-back, and as harsh as it may sound to Habs fans, it's reality. The Toronto Maple Leafs on home ice are trailing 3-1 in the third period. They have the firepower to come back and win the hockey game. The Montreal Canadiens are trailing 3-1 in the third period against the same team. They don't have the firepower to come back and win the hockey game.
And that team had played the night before, you know, when they're allegedly more vulnerable. And I think that, besides Pacioretty, does Montreal really have a guy that can jump over the boards and you'd say, wow, that guy could change the game here on one shift?
Well, you're thinking that Drouin can get there. I think Drouin is close. That's the thing. You're watching this, right? Lekkonen appears close to scoring. Hudon appears close. Drouin appears close. But that's it.
Yeah, and you know, they need, like, they need those guys. They need Gallagher. They need Galchenyuk. They need those guys to, you know, to chip in more. And it's hard, right? Because it's the hardest thing to do in the NHL is to score regularly. It's really tough to do. I mean, I kind of laughed the other night. We were talking about Alex Ovechkin having a down year last year. He scored 33 goals. I mean, teams would kill to have a 33-goal score, right?
I don't know how much argument I'll get when I say this. Their center ice position is the worst in the NHL.
Would you like to debate without him present, your partner?
Oh, well, best way to do it, isn't it? I thought of I heard he said that. They're certainly in the conversation. I mean, they don't have a dominant centerman, for sure. They don't have a guy that, you know, that you would say is a real number one that's going to dominate. I mean, if you look around, look through the division, it's the worst center ice in the division, probably, right?
Yeah, well, I'm with Ray on this. Like, I can't, without having rosters in front of me, maybe Vegas with Shipachov and, in no man's land right now.
The 3-0 Vegas Knights?
Yes, the 3-0 Vegas
Knights. did you play Arizona 80 times a year.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. We got to talk about Arizona.
Yeah.
I would agree with Ray. They're right there.
What do you want to mention about Arizona?
I just find it incredible that you can be that bad that long. Like, I just how they could think that Antti Raanta was going to be their number one goaltender is beyond me, and is beyond a lot of people in the game. Now, he had the eighth best 5-on-5 save percentage in the NHL last year as Henrik Lundqvist's backup. Now, talk to anyone who played with him in Chicago. He's not a number one goaltender. And this is where, you know, I hate to say it, but this is what Mike Babcock was talking about yesterday. You know, there's a limit to analytics.
What is it that he said? He said, though, but it's nice that they have jobs in hockey now. That's good for them.
Great, lots of jobs. Lots of people getting jobs from it. It's good for them.
All right. We'll let you get into the ballet class now.
Oh, no. She's gone. I dropped her off in the home already.
Oh, I thought, don't you hang out?
Oh, it was like a stealth. How good was that? She got out of the car. She wants to be a guest on the show one day.
Absolutely. More than welcome next time you're in town if you want to set it up. If you want to set it up next time you're in town,
you're gonna put her on the air.
Like, absolutely. She can't be any worse than Gallo.
True. Now, Gallo, I gotta ask Gallo a question. Like, are you pounding on the panic button? Like, because normally, like, when things go a little bad, you're a little wobbly. So now I gotta think. Like, you're just pounding the panic button.
You have to see it. Actually, I've taken the reverse approach. I've been the most level-headed on TSN 690.
Well, really?
I don't know about that, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Either that or the word panic has worn off the button, and you can no longer see that it is the panic button. You can't tell if it's the panic button because the word it's like the zero on your microwave. It's worn out.
Never mind, I've hit it.
Forget it, eh?
Well, let's,
everybody run!
Let's wait until Saturday. Let's wait until Saturday.
This will be interesting, won't it? It'll be interesting on Saturday, won't it?
That's a major test. Claude Julien kind of senses it already, saying that they're going to eat you alive if...
Hey, did the game sell out last night, by the way?
Yes, it did. According to the official stat sheet, yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear on the way out if it did not. So that's good.
All right, it was good to see you briefly. And when are you in town next?
I got a football game there in the not too distant future.
Yeah, you'll see Gallo at that one.
Oh, nice. I am there October 22nd. That's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I won't be around.
No, I'm sure you won't.
Yeah. Next time at the Bell Center, Gord.
I'd love to convince you as a sports broadcaster to attend more sporting events.
Oh, man. That's all I did for 30 years.
I know. I know the feel. I was at a practice the other day going, how many hockey practices have I been to? Like, just once in a while, could you skate counterclockwise just to make a difference for me?
Have a great week.
You too, guys.
Thanks as always. Gord Miller of TSN. Is Aaron Ward coming on? He was supposed to be on between 4:30 and 5, but apparently he didn't leave the ice because he's running practices for a minor hockey team in Carolina where they had, what, 7,000 people for the Hurricanes game last night? So Aaron's coming up next.
Let's make sure he answers this phone first.
And Steven Strasburg, how's he doing? How's he doing so far in Wrigley?
He's
elimination game.
Doing pretty well. Yeah. I mean, they're up 1-0.
Give Dusty Baker some time. Give him some time.
8 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Tell him that, you know, I'm not giving this. You got to pry this ball out of my cold, dead hand.
Melnick in the afternoon.